and Jill here.
Oh my goodness, hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. I never know what you're going to say.
I know, that's why I had to do that.
Entertaining real estate investment advice.
One that's of us, anyway. Just kidding.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt. And we're broadcasting this week again and still from sunny California, but it's going to change next week. It's going to be some fun.
Going on the road.
Yes, we are going on the road.
Today, Jill and I talk about what we learned from HGTV, and then we turn it off.
Yeah.
I think you should do that with all TV.
You know, it's funny. It's HGTV. I don't know how they do it, but they did it. Food Network, I've seen this happen. Weather Channel, I've seen it happen. Where, like, there's people that it's on 24/7. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is one of those channels. And it's what's funny is with HGTV especially, it's not exactly who you'd expect who has it running in the background constantly.
Oh, you mean like people?
Yeah.
People, people.
Like a stay-at-home mom or something, you know, who's like looking longingly at wanting to redo her kitchen. I expect her to have it on 24/7. But like, I don't know, kickboxing guy, I don't expect him to have it on 24/7, but some of them do.
Yeah.
Because I hear them. You hear people talking about, you know, what they saw on different shows or different things. And I'm like, there's no way you know that unless you were watching HGTV.
You know, I have the same issue with people who drink wine. Like, there's all these unsuspecting wine drinkers out there. You'd think there'd be like a shot of tequila person.
Yeah.
But no, they know way too much about wine. It's kind of strange. Maybe
that's
it's California.
Funny. I love it.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
It made me laugh because I was just thinking about, I have a friend that taught me a long, long time ago that white gin is for cooking, not for drinking.
And I think that might have been true a while ago, but I'm not sure that's the case anymore.
I don't know. A good chef might argue that. Or a good wine drinker might argue that.
I think a good chef would say, leave your white zin out of my food.
Well, maybe that's it.
I don't know.
Just don't
drink.
That's
a whole different podcast.
Yeah. So, hey, all, I'm Travis. I've been through the Cash Flow from Land online training program twice. I have studied real estate for over a year and recently sent out my first mailer. A business partner and I have been getting calls left and right, but no deals quite yet. It's only been about 2.5 weeks.
Yeah, it's coming.
Anyway, just got off the phone with a seller who's got a substantial amount of 1-acre properties around the country held in a trust. He inherited them and doesn't want them anymore. He's moving to Italy and is ready to offload them in one package deal for cheap and doesn't care if we make a large gain from them. Cue major due diligence.
Yeah.
Oh, this is so good. So to keep this brief, i.e. TLDR, I don't know what that is.
I don't either.
Okay. Have not yet completed a start to finish real estate deal, but very familiar with the process. Have consumed, like everything, Jack and Jill put out in several real estate courses, books, videos, etc. And 2 weeks and someone calls with a very large deal.
Yeah.
Would have to get creative with the financing, right? We were prepping for smaller deals, but wondering if we might consider diving in deep after doing the due diligence. Want to avoid some pitfalls. Yep. I'm inexperienced in doing deals, but I've got confidence and training. I love it. Love it. Love it. Love it.
This is exactly how this is supposed to work.
Yeah. Therefore, and finally, my question is, this is really good. Do you guys have any tips on how not to biff this our very first go around? I would deeply appreciate a nugget of advice from your collective years and experience. Don't want to be naive and mess this up. Thanks so much for your invaluable time and input, Travis K.
So I would run through.
So good.
I would get a list of the properties and I would run through the due diligence on parcel facts. And I would check, spot check. I would do all this in less than like 10 minutes. Spot check 10 or the properties or so and see what kind of properties they are. Hopefully they're infill lots and there were some dough. If that's the case, go on to DealBoard, which you're a part of, and make it known that you have this deal. Chances are there's a delay between when these questions get asked and when this actually airs, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are you've already done this, I hope. And if there's a bunch of money involved that's to be made off of these. There's nothing but people in this group, right, Jill?
Mm-hmm.
That are ready to just come in, including us.
Mm-hmm.
I love these kinds of deals.
And fund them.
Fund it and then partner it and all that. I mean, I would personally love to see this.
Here's a couple points that I would make since he's new, is spend the time. Let's just say there's 50 properties. Could I sit in one day and go through all 50? Yeah. You know, and you will too after a few. You're like, oh, same subdivision, I know that. Oh, same subdivision,
yeah,
I know
right,
that.
Jill.
So hopefully that there's some that are like that. You can really kind of go through and do it. Check the little details too. Check the back taxes. Just see where they stand. Check and make sure if there's an HOA. You know, you got to, so spend some time. Make sure you have a good understanding about all these properties. Figure out what you think they're worth. You know how to do the math and work it backwards, because you're doing this right now with us, Travis. And then finally, like Jack just said, you can negotiate a better deal if you take all of these off this guy's hand in one transaction, and that sounds like what he wants. So maybe they're all worth, let's just throw something out there. Maybe that's worth $100,000.
Yeah. If your margin's north of 100 grand,
yeah,
I would not do this myself. If you're brand new, if this is your first deal, you really do need some help, all kidding aside.
Right. Yeah, that's true. And whoever you partner with, they can do it with you. Go through the double, tweak it, and be an extra pair of eyes for you. And with their experience, go through them. But, you can really negotiate. I don't really have a percentage to throw out to you, but I can just say that, a lot of people are ready just to cash out, walk away. It's kind of like I'm walking away from the end of the garage sale. Imagine the end of the garage sale. You know what I mean? And you're staring at, that's half broken. No one wanted that. No one wanted that. Okay, great. Now I'm going to have to haul. I'm going to pile this all into my car because I got to get it out of here. Or wait a minute, this guy just rolled up and said he'll pay this stupid price but take it all off my hands. Heck yeah. That's kind of how I feel this might be for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
You might be at the end of the garage sale.
Well, here's the thing.
To get a good price.
I don't want to complicate this, because what you want to do is you really want to act quickly. Price it. Mm-hmm. Price it so that you know you're going to make a bunch of money and he's going to be okay, the seller, and get the deal done. You don't want to be saying, oh, what if we try this? Oh, what if we try it? No, you want to get in there.
If you say you want 80% of them or whatever it is, get the price so good that you're just going to take them all off his hands. You don't want to leave him with three, because he's not going to be that thrilled
or
about
any,
it.
Or any, really.
Exactly.
We do that all the time.
Take them all.
We'll take them all. We'll have it done on Thursday, but here's the price.
Right.
And 99% of the time they say yes. Probably 100%.
Don't forget, Travis, tell him that you're going to throw in all the closing costs, factor all that in, because that's something that they don't know how to do or want to do, and you can do this.
They just want you to solve it for them.
Yeah. Make it so
flippin'
easy for
him. Sounds like price doesn't matter. It's a good deal to be. That's a good position. That's how you make the mail work for you. It's perfect.
I thought you were going to say the women work for you. What?
What?
That's how I make the what work for me. What?
That's how you make the mail work for you.
That's right.
M-A-I-L.
Thank you.
Today's topic, what we learned from HGTV. And then we turn it off, of course. This is the meat of the show. So, Jill, as Jill alluded to earlier, there are some people that it's just an addiction. They love to watch people fail at renovating houses.
Sometimes they show they show a lot of success in there, or at least I think they try to. You think it's a failure thing?
If you live under a rock and you don't know what HGTV is, Home and Garden TV,
mm-hmm.
It's a collection of shows, where mostly reality shows, where people renovate properties. You know, they buy a house. They used to show the numbers like, oh, we bought it for $400 and just cleaned it up for $80 and sold it for $540.
Why is that, Jack?
Why do they never show the numbers anymore?
Yes, what happened that made me mad?
I only can guess and think that the lawyers got a hold of it and said, you shouldn't. I know this whole thing's a big, huge lie.
Oh.
And that's fine because it's TV, but you might want to just leave the numbers out of it. The blatant damn lies. Just leave it out.
Blatant damn lie clause. Oh my gosh, I want that. Why did you marry them? Because they passed the blatant damn lie test. Blatant damn.
Some of these shows are fun.
That's my new thing. I'm writing that. We should call a show. How to smoke out blatant damn lies.
There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. We've talked about it on the show before.
I love it. Thank you. I did write that down.
So people go on the show and make quite a name for themselves, quite honestly, and they clean up houses, or so they say they do. So you get to see the before and you get to see the after, and usually they throw a dash of who bought the house at the, as an end user at the end. And so what do I learn from this? That's what the show's about. I learned that I never want to do that. I learned that it's just a heck of a lot easier to buy a piece of real estate for just a lot less. Negotiate a better deal on the front end and then just buy it.
Here's what I was thinking about.
You don't have to ever get any tools out or talk to a contractor and just resell it.
Here's my two cents here on HGTV and all that stuff. The bottom line is, it's not as easy as they portray it to be. Let's all really take a step back and think about that. Come on. I mean, sure, 5 minutes later, I own it. No, it's sped up for TV, you know, and you didn't see all the fights that went on behind the scenes, by the way.
All the awful stuff.
That was taken out. You know, they might allude to the roof issues. They didn't, maybe they don't show it caving in the back, or collapsing.
I mean, I don't think it's that real.
But you don't.
I think it's all scripted.
You think so?
Yeah.
I don't know. We could have done it. Like some of our renovations. Oh, I see what you're saying. This, how they walk through the whole transaction.
I think
we could have made them look good.
Repairs and the whole thing.
Oh.
Here's my whole point. That's really my point. What I learned from HGTV after we've renovated a few houses, Jill and I, together, and it was a mess. I mean, we made money, but it was a mess. Mm-hmm. It's way, way, way easier to learn from what they do and just not do it. It's so much easier to send a ton of letters out and buy property for 75% of what you can, in the same condition the house is in, buy it for 75% of what it's worth or 80% and just resell it for a regular price, mm-hmm. For sale price without ever actually walking in the house, without ever changing carpet or paint or anything.
You know what? So to piggyback on that, I made a note. That was my positive thing about HGTV, which is I think that, or I hope it at least gets folks thinking about what is possible and other ways to make money in property, like you're just saying, and then hopefully inspires the right few to take action.
Yeah, exactly, Jill. So that's my whole point. What you learn from it is, yes, there's money to be made. Absolutely. Yep. If you control a piece of real estate and you know that it's going to be worth more when you're done, then your job is to kind of make when you're done easier and faster.
Right.
And so if you don't have to renovate the thing at all, you just spend all your time concentrating on buying cheap property instead of renovating the ones that you do buy, you're going to end up with way more dough. That is the business model for a typical lender. You know, lenders make, the more money they lend, the more triage they make, the more money they make. Mm-hmm. So learn from that too.
What if you're an investor? Let me just run this by you. You understand this, okay? You get it, you know it, you're doing it. But your wife as a hobby really wants to do this. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a lot out there like that. They just have it. Even it's really kind of a hobby. Do you think that there's a place for that?
No.
Oh.
I don't. I don't think there's a place for that at all. In fact, that's even worse. When you start to, it's your hobby. If it's your hobby, then I would start a side business as a decorator and get paid for your hobby.
Oh,
and
all right.
Not risk it yourself. Or I would do your own house where you're actually going to enjoy it. Because in the end, when it's your hobby, you're going to say, God, if we just spent 20% more on this kitchen, it would just knock everybody's socks off.
Isn't that funny?
You're just
going to
price yourself out. Just, I don't care.
That's the reality.
I don't care how good you are with all this stuff. If it's your hobby, I had a hobby business one time called Jack's Classic Cars.
Yeah, you did.
And I dismally failed at that. Terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many did you have?
Lots.
That's what I'm saying. And apparently you did well. The business did well. You didn't.
I lost money. I lost my butt.
Yeah.
Is what happened.
Is that why you're saying
that? Because I'm all in love with cars, you know?
Jack's Classic Cars. Jack's personal classic car collection.
It was a terrible business idea.
I see.
And it's because it was my hobby.
You know that funny? I have to share on that. Okay, so we were in a hotel room, two months ago, and you were flipping channels on what is the channel that you stopped on? The automotive, whatever they call it. What is the new car channel.
I think
channel.
It was a speed channel.
Maybe that was it. But that's what they were doing, is sitting there going out, finding and restoring classic cars and selling them for more.
Mm-hmm.
And you were like binge watching
that. I was glued to that.
Yeah.
And they were one after another. It was on regular TV, so.
I remember.
It was, they were one after another,
show.
So I wasn't the only guy.
Yeah. That's funny.
This is Jill's really nice way of saying on the air that I was not a lot of fun on that trip.
No, that wasn't it at all. No. That was your version of HGTV or your version of this.
We don't have TV at home, so anytime we go somewhere.
Right.
Here's what happens with Jill and I when we go out in public.
Oh, no.
It's usually for like sport games and sport bars and stuff, and we meet people and friends, and so I haven't seen a TV commercial in a year, probably.
This is true.
You know, or if we have, it's been in those spotty places like in a hotel.
It's true.
So,
and we're like glued to the TV.
Glued to these. We're like, wow, everybody's looking at us like we're just idiots. Like,
exactly.
What are you guys paying attention to these commercials for?
Like, I've never seen that. It's so true. We probably look like we're like from another planet.
Right. And it's a toothpaste commercial.
Exactly.
Or something. It's really silly.
Mine is the smoking ones. I'm like, what the heck is it? Are these smoking commercials that are coming up now? It's hilarious.
Exactly.
Thank you. Well, you've done it again. Wasted another, I don't know how many minutes, listening to the Jack and Jill show, and those are minutes you'll never get back.
Join us in another episode, in the next episode, actually, tomorrow, where we talk about houseacademy.com. And
yay!
It's coming.
And we answer your question, should you have one, posted on our online community, and you can find it through jackjill.com.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition.
I love when you say, like, this is what happens when we go out in public. I'm like, we embarrass ourselves? Like,
well, I was waiting. I'm sure that happens.
I was waiting.
Sure.
I always thought that's how you were going to follow that up. That was really, really good.
No, you know, we just.
But it's true. I've caught myself, and I feel like I look like a rude, I don't mean to be rude, but I look like just a distracted, whatever person here. I'm glued to the stupid TV.
You know, it's a holiday season now, too, so everybody's Christmas shopping, so there's a lot of commercials, like good ones, new ones.
Yeah, it's, like the car commercials.
It's
a
amazing.
Lot of car commercials.
Yeah, car commercials.
They all have a bow on them, and I'm like, right. What is that? I've never even seen that. So funny. I love it. Hey, share the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, please rate us there. We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.